We're in Micah, as you know, Micah chapter 2, as we walk our way through the minor prophets chronologically. So Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Jonah, Micah. And we saw last week and the week before, God again warning his children about their disobedience. And here God asks a very interesting rhetorical question here in Micah chapter 2 that all of us should take heed to. So beginning there in verse 6 of Micah chapter 2, prophesy ye not, say they to them that prophesy, they shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Even of late my people is risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe with the garment, from them that pass by securely as men averse from war. The women of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have ye taken away my glory forever. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker has come up before them. They are broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. So this question God asked, is the spirit of the Lord straitened? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the privilege to open your word together this evening. Use it now in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we could assemble this evening. For those who came out, pray your blessings upon every aspect of the remainder of this service. We give it to you and love you in Christ's name. Amen. So God here is again rebuking his people, but asking a question about his own sovereignty. That's why I said it was a rhetorical question. But notice he said, they said there in verse 6, prophesy ye not, say to them that prophesy, that they shall not prophesy to them. So on the one hand, Israel kept saying, we don't want any more prophecies. We don't want God's servants telling us that we're in sin. We don't want to hear it anymore. And God also saying, there's going to come a time when I'm going to stop sending you warnings. And of course, from the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew, nothing. After all these centuries of prophet after prophet, 400 years of silence, it's been called. And they didn't hear from God for all of that time. But this is what happens. People don't want to hear God's word. And as we saw in our study in the Sunday school about the characteristics of the last days, the time will come, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, when they will not endure sound doctrine. And we are in that time, are we not? So we're back to that again, where people don't want to hear the word. They want to be entertained. They want to hear things that lift them up and good stories, things that make them laugh. But they don't want to hear doctrine. They don't want to hear the word. Because the word convicts. The word pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, doesn't it? And so Israel was the same. They said, we don't want to hear it. So go to Isaiah 30:10. We'll see another example of this. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 10, which we saw when we studied through Isaiah. But notice Isaiah 30, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Wait a minute. That's 50:10. Not 30:10. Isaiah 30, verse 10. There we go. Which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Boy, if that isn't also a picture of today. Speak unto us smooth things. Tell us stuff that comes down, that goes down easy, that's palatable. Amen? Don't tell us about sin. Don't tell us about God wanting us to work. tell us smooth things. And we see many times in these prophets, Israel saying, prophesy not. We don't want to hear what God has to say. And how sad when people get to that point. How sad when even Christians get to that point. But God's answer to them, verse 7, and the key of the passage tonight here in Micah 2, it was, is the Spirit of the Lord straightened? In other words, is God's sovereignty gone? And of course, the answer is no. God is always sovereign. God sees all. God allows all at the same time. And that's the thing. God allows us to sin. He gave us a free will, didn't he? But his Spirit is never straightened. In other words, it's never constrained. God is in control. God does what God wants to do. God sees everything. God knows everything. And for us to believe otherwise is to not understand the God of the Bible. God is sovereign, and his Spirit is never straightened. A couple of examples, 2 Chronicles 16:9, if you would turn there quickly. 2 Chronicles 16:9, where God makes it very clear that he sees every single thing and that he rewards based upon what he sees. Notice 2 Chronicles 16:9. Sorry. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So God, it says, is always looking for those whose heart is perfect toward him so that he can be strong for them, be a blessing to them. And then Daniel chapter 4, if you would turn there quickly, verse 35. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. And the answer is no. The Spirit of the Lord is not straightened. God's sovereignty is always out there. It never ends. But notice Daniel 4:35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? God does whatever God wants to do in the earth. God does whatever God wants to do in heaven because God is God. That's what it's saying. And he says none of his creation ever has a right to say, what are you doing? Or why are you doing this? And yet does not the world say that all the time? And do not Christians say that sometimes? Lord, why are you doing this? In other words, you're making a mistake. This isn't right. God never makes a mistake. God does what is right, and God does what is right all the time. But God's Spirit is never straightened, and praise God for us in the church age. His Spirit is always available to us to serve him. But during the church age, the Spirit of God is just as sovereign and in control. Go to John 16 and we'll see this. Jesus here in John 16 prophesying of the coming Spirit. And his ministry on earth. You know, Micah later on in chapter 3 is going to say, I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. And so through the Spirit, God definitely accomplishes his will. But notice here in John 16 verse 8. It says, and when he is come, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So the Holy Spirit reproves. Well, the world doesn't want reproved, does it? That's the last thing people want today, is to be reproved. In other words, to be corrected, to be challenged about their wickedness. But that's one thing that the Holy Spirit does. Today, as he reproves the world of sin. And if you're here today and you're born again, the Holy Spirit reproved you of your sin. You acknowledged that it was true and that you were a sinner and realized you needed a Savior. He did what needed to be done in your heart. But on down to verse 13 of John 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Holy Spirit being the silent one of the Trinity, he doesn't promote himself, he promotes Jesus. As he says there, he shall not speak of himself. And as he said there, he will glorify Jesus Christ. but the Holy Spirit is here on earth today to accomplish the will of God, and the Spirit of the Lord is never straitened. Never can man argue with what God chooses to do. A lot of people say, oh, it's been too long since Calvary. Jesus should have come back by now. That's not up to us, is it? The Spirit of the Lord is not straitened. God's going to do what God wants to do when He wants to do it. And we need to accept that. He's our Heavenly Father. So back to our passage, as he asks this rhetorical question in verse 7, he goes on to say, at the end of the verse, do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? So on the one hand, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Of course not. God is sovereign. God is in control. And especially in the church, the Spirit of the Lord is in control and working in the hearts of men. But then he says, do not my words help? Or are not my words a blessing to those who walk uprightly? Boy, is that ever a great statement. And we all know this to be true, don't we? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, David said. That was Old Testament writing, Psalm 119:105. We're told in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. So the word of God grows us. And then Psalm 19, we can look there. But I know we sing this a lot. Some of you might have it memorized, where David talks about the power of the word of God in his people's lives. And that's what he's saying here. My words do good to him that walketh upright. When we choose to obey Jesus, when we choose to serve God, like we talked this morning, and go forward and service for the Lord, he's given us a guidebook, and he's given us a book that will help us every day to grow. It's our food. But in Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Well, that's powerful, isn't it? Converting the soul. It says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So it gives wisdom to the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Joy comes from God's word. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Again, it gives us enlightenment. It shows us the way. And then the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It's beautiful. So yes, God's words are good to those who walk uprightly. And where would we be if we didn't have it? God's precious word. Go back to our passage here in Micah 2. The Spirit of the Lord is not straitened. And yes, His word is a blessing to those who walk uprightly. Verse 10, arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. Ties in well with this morning, doesn't it? You have victory in Christ, so therefore I want you to what? Be always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is not your rest. And he says to Israel, this is not your rest. It's not time yet. Your rest is in the future. For them, the kingdom. For us, it's the church. This is not your rest, the church age. Your rest is in the future. There remaineth, as you can see in Hebrews 4, it says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That's referring to heaven. That's our rest. That's our time to rest from our labors. Now is the time to labor. Be always abounding in the work of the Lord. So it stands true for you and I as well, that the Spirit of the Lord is not straitened. His word is a blessing to those who walk uprightly, and this is not our rest. And then, as with many of these prophets, after the rebuke, God includes a promise. I love it when God does this. Verse 12, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. How many times does God talk about his remnant? I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. Go to Isaiah 11:11, if you would. Isaiah 11:11. And so God says, yes, punishment is coming. Chastisement is coming. Rebuke is coming. And the Spirit of the Lord is never straitened. The Word of God will be a blessing if you allow it to be in your life. But this is not your rest. Serve God. But if you are one of God's children, which of course Israel is a picture of a child of God, then their future still holds blessings. Now, that's not talking about individuals in Israel. It's talking about a nation, isn't it? And as a nation, they're a picture of a Christian. And as a nation, they will be blessed. They will receive a kingdom. They will be regathered. Isaiah 11:11 also reminds us of this. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea." Now, if the world scoffs at anything, they obviously scoff at the second coming of Christ, but they definitely scoff at these promises, don't they? The most hated nation on earth is the nation we're talking about right now, Israel. God says, Israel gets their kingdom. I will one day regather the remnant. One more verse, Jeremiah 23:3. And remember, as one of God's children, God's promises to Israel, God always keeps his promises. God is not done with Israel. Jeremiah 23:3, "And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase." So yeah, the Jews are scattered worldwide, are they not? But God says he's the one that scattered them. But he says, I'm also going to be the one that brings them all back together and gives them their kingdom. Not, of course, until they go through some more of the fire, which we've seen as well. For us as God's children, what can we be reminded of tonight? That God is sovereign. And to buck against that sovereignty is never wise. When God makes a decision in our lives, when God does something in our lives, the answer isn't to get angry at God. The answer is to look into our own hearts and say, what's wrong with me? Why am I angry? I need to trust the Lord, because God makes no mistakes. God knows what he's doing in my life. The Spirit of the Lord is never straitened. And he lives inside of us as children of God. And his word is always there to guide, always there to be a blessing if we'll choose in the midst of things that we might not understand, in the midst of trials, in the midst of God making decisions that we didn't want necessarily, to stay in the word. And guess what? It'll always be a blessing. It'll always do good to those that walk uprightly as we serve our Lord Jesus Christ. So is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Absolutely not. Let's pray.